Good morning. It is Thursday, November 5th, and you are tuned in to 88.5 KRFY for the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Jim. It is a nice but sort of chilly Thursday morning, isn't it? I've got the weather forecast. Also joining us today are Tom and Phil from the Idaho Trails Association. We'll be in conversation with them in just a little bit, but first, a look at your weather. High of 40 degrees today with a pretty good chance of precipitation today, especially before 11 a.m. It'll be pretty cloudy, kind of more of the same of what we have been seeing, and then that continues all weekend long. We do have chances of rain on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with highs in the mid-40s all weekend long. So, sort of more of the same, but there's a surprise, which is that tonight there might just be snow. We might see some snow flurries.
There was some snow. I looked up at Schweitzer on Monday morning, way up high. There was some snow up there.
Well, there you go. That would be that's the first I've seen of snow, I guess. But that's even down here at this low altitude, we might even get
yeah,
it a
said that
bit
in the forecast.
Tonight.
I was wondering at what elevation. Mm-hmm. I think the low is going to be around 26. This is the first Thursday in November.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's been the season of raking. yesterday, we have a big sycamore tree in our backyard, and this is about the third or fourth time I've been out. You'd think in a perfect world, all the leaves would fall at once.
Yes.
You know, well, because yeah. you know, I'm no sooner done than raking. I turn around and I'm going to have to work on that. Why can't we get trees where leaves fall all at once? Then I could rake it once and we're done. We're here with Phil Huff on the morning show and Tom Dabrowski with the Idaho Trails Association, and a big thing is going to occur on Saturday. And I'm going to turn it over to Phil to give us a little overview of this Saturday's Fall Hiker Fest and Trails Celebration.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning, Jack. And I love to talk about trails. I'm here not only as the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, but I wear a couple other hats. I'm a longtime member of the American Long Distance Hiking Association West, All the West, and a founding board member of Idaho Trails Association. And last February, another longtime member, past president with me of All the West, and I put on a ruck in February, sort of a training day for would-be long-distance hikers. And we had a lot of great energy in the room, a lot of great resources. We had about 65 people come out, and quite a number of them, 10 or 12, were planning adventures this summer. So at the end of the ruck, we talked about maybe doing a fall celebration. Come back and tell us the stories of what you did on your summer vacation. So that's the main impetus for this fall fest. We've invited in a number of speakers. We'll talk about them in a little bit, who went out and had great summers. And one extra bonus person that Tom found on a trail this summer who can speak to
found
a nearby
on the
trail. Yeah, it's great how a hiker energy just runs into mm-hmm. each other. And then as the event was evolving, All the West and ITA combined to put this on, we thought there's really a great opportunity here to highlight some of the local trail resources we have, both the long trails, the shorter trails, that this event should appeal to people who are long-distance hikers themselves, would-be long-distance hikers who just want to be in a room, sit at the armchair, and enjoy vicariously the adventures of others, learn more about what trails there are here locally. So we brought in some participating organizations to talk about what they're doing and how they're doing it, what resources they bring to bear, and we'll go through a little bit of that. And I think it's going to be a really exciting event.
I think so.
Now, let me get the details out first. Who, what, where, and why. Yep. It's this Saturday, and is there a fee and all sorts of things? Let's get the nitty-gritty details out, and then we can talk about the program for the day.
Okay, very good. This will be this Saturday, November 7th, in the Bonner County Multi-Purpose Room in the old Federal Building, which is out on the corner of Division and Highway 2. The Dover Highway. We'll open the doors at 8:30, and 9 o'clock the event will start, and we think we'll go to about 4 o'clock, and then we'll share with the attendees the fact that after the meeting we will come to town and probably have some follow-on discussions and visits and an opportunity for people to visit with the people that have done these great adventures.
Now, is there a fee for the day?
No, it's open to the public and it's free. We will have a lunch that we will be cooking that people can buy. I think it's $10. And or they can bring a sack lunch. And we'll have some free refreshments in the morning, some muffins and that sort of thing, and coffee. And then maybe a cookie or two in the afternoon.
One needs to eat throughout the day if one is hiking. Tell me this, what sort of numbers or responses do you expect to get? And is there a pre-registration? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great questions. And so this is the first ever time we've put this on. We have no idea. We have no idea. The room holds 85, at least according to the fire marshal. I've seen up to 100 in the room, so we might have a little wiggle room. We did ask people to pre-register so we can get some idea of how many people mm-hmm. we might have. Right now, between pre-registrants and a few people who have said they're coming but not necessarily signed up yet, but we know are committed, we're probably at about 45, which for Sandpoint, 2 days before an event,
that's not bad.
That translates into at least double. So I think we're going to hit the room's capacity. So if you're listening and you do want to come, I'd encourage you to sign up in advance. Go to the Scotchman Peaks website, www.scotchmanpeaks.org, and click on our events tab, and that'll walk you through how to register. It's free registration, but if you do sign up in ahead of time, you'll have priority at the door. However, get there before 9. Once it's filled, it's filled.
Now, 9 to 4, some people might say, oh, I've got a wedding in the morning or something. Mm-hmm. Can one attend part of it?
You can attend part of it as long as there's space in the room.
Got it.
So we may allow people to stand behind the velvet rope and wait for folks to leave if demand is that high. Yes, yeah, people can come and go, but again, with the caveat that the room will probably be filled. And it's generally designed for an all-day share the camaraderie, lots of breaks, so that you can chat amongst each other and with the participants. Lunch is envisioned as a round table. Pick out your favorite presenter and or trail community and talk to them. So it should be, I think most people will stay all day, although there is one very popular local presentation. Lexi DeFremery and Gail Hansett are going to be talking about their walk around Mount Blanc. Mm-hmm. And I know they're sharing with some of their friends the time that they're on. But we purposely did not put times on the agenda so as to discourage people from cherry picking a specific presentation they wanted and coming just for that.
And you really don't know, in terms of the response, you want to answer questions, in terms of it'd be ballpark figures anyway that you would give. Let me ask you this, in terms of one more time, where does one go to register, pre-register?
Go to scotchmanpeaks.org and click on the events tab. It'll walk you right through it.
Of course, one can go there and register on Saturday morning, but there is no guarantee that there's going to be a spot for you.
Let's dive into some of these speakers. Who is, briefly, what are people going to be talking about? What are the subjects of conversation?
So why don't you go ahead, Tom, and talk about Clay. He's going to be one of the favorites, and he'll probably lead the day off.
This was an incredible thing. Being with the Idaho Trails Association, one of our missions is to help maintain trails. And so one of the things I like to do is go out and find the trails that have been abandoned. And that way we can rebuild the trail, reopen it, have it for hiking. So another fellow and I were on Dodge Peak up above Pack River, and out in this remote area, and walked up to Dodge Peak, and here was a fellow standing there with a backpack, and his name was Clay Jacobson. He had been hiking for several months. He'd hiked over 1,000 miles from the border with Nevada. He was on the Idaho Centennial Trail. The trail was first established in 1990 during the Idaho Centennial. It's 25 years old. As far as the folks that are responsible for the trail, they think he's probably the 7th person that's hiked the entire trail in 1 year. So we got talking with Clay, and he talked about his adventures on the Idaho Centennial Trail. And after I got back, I called Phil and I said, guess what, Phil? We have a great speaker here, someone that will really have a wonderful presentation and great experience.
Can you say something about the Idaho Centennial Trail? Where does it start? Where does it end, its length, to put this into context?
A great question. And the answer on length is I'm not sure. The reason is that we have a reporter that reported it was 900 miles long, and the state website says that it's 1,300 miles.
So I can help out here a little bit. I've been doing some pre-trip planning. Probably the next long adventure Deb and I will take is the Idaho Centennial Trail, either that or the Pacific Northwest. But in planning and talking to at least 9 of those 7 hikers, there are a few uncounted, the trail starts on the Nevada border at a place called Jawbridge Canyon, and then it ends here on the Canadian border, just a quarter mile shy at American Falls. If anyone's locally hiked up to that, it's at the very upper end of the Upper Priest River. And so if you hiked it all the way through as a through hiker, you would hike 950 miles. However, through the central part of the state, in the big wilderness areas, the Frank Church River of No Return, the Selway Bitterroot, there's a parallel trail that branches out and goes around but not through the wilderness to allow and accommodate for other uses, for dogs, for mountain bikes, for some of the uses not allowed in wilderness. So the dual system, when you combine them, equal almost 1,300 miles. So someone who was really hardcore and wanted to walk every foot of it would probably somehow loop around and do that.
So let's talk about just briefly about trails and trail maintenance. You mentioned, Tom, some have disappeared. Mm-hmm. Is that because there has not been an overhead organization maintaining it? Or like the Centennial, it's been around now for, 25 years?
Yes.
Are there work crews on it?
Well, the answer is that with the declining budgets that the state and the federal government has, one of the things that suffered are hiking trails. And so the Idaho Trails Association was formed about 6 years ago, modeled after the Washington Trails Association, which has been hugely successful. It's a volunteer organization. They get people together to go out and volunteer their time to help maintain the trails. And so this last year here in northern Idaho, the Idaho Trails Association did 3 projects. One down in the Hayden Lake area, one here on the Mikinik Trail, which is very popular here in Sandpoint, and another on the Roman Nose Lakes Trail. And so what our organization does is get people together to go volunteer to clean up the trails, maintain the trails, that sort of thing. And the reason that I was looking at that abandoned trail is it is part of the Idaho Centennial Trail. Like all of these newer long trails and some of the older trails, even the Appalachian Trail, there are sections that are missing or they're not maintained or they've fallen into disrepair. That's where volunteers can come in and help maintain the trails. The ITA, Idaho Trails Association's mission is to help work on the trails. And then the long distance hiker group is to get people energized and trained and get them out to do those long trails. So we have a relationship here that's that works for hikers. Yeah.
Now, does any of the Idaho Centennial Trail go through private land?
Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, we have a section, one missing section right here in northern Idaho up by MacArthur Lake, up north on 95, that goes through some private land. And I was just up there a couple of days ago looking at possible rerouting of the trail to get that section open again.
What do you mean by missing?
Well, it's what happens is that the Idaho Centennial Trail map now shows once people come down off of the Calder Grouse Mountain area, they come down to Highway 95, and what the state is saying, hike down 95 to the Pack River Road and then hike up the Pack River Road. The original trail went up over the divide, over to Dodge Peak, and then down to Upper Pack River. So we're trying to find a way to get that original section put back into use rather than hiking all the way down the highway and up the Pack River Road.
There's an evolution to all of our long-distance trails from the time that they're conceived as a line on a map till they're fully, completely built out. It takes the dedicated efforts of not just the land management agencies, but volunteers to build and maintain them. And then often in that process, they're going to cross multiple jurisdictions. and some private lands. And so it takes a long time to acquire the easements and the access rights. So there'll be a temporary route around, say, a private section or a section that hasn't been built yet. And somewhere off in the future, they'll finally connect once those easements are negotiated and that trail's built. And the trail might not yet be that popular. So popular areas get maintained, less popular areas fall out of use. So over time, a trail community is built up, awareness is built up. And these are some of the issues we're going to be talking about with the organizations that are present. There's a need for those trail organizations to bring the citizens' resources and the agency's resources together to make sure that we have connectivity on these trails, that the less popular sections get some love too. And so the organizations that are coming on Saturday are going to talk about what their area of focus is and how they go about doing the things they do. Why do they exist? How do they do the work they do? And why membership and participation are so critical to maintaining access to our local trail segments that are part of these national treasures.
There is a long list of groups who are coming and, I guess, representing themselves this weekend. Anybody jump out in particular that you think listeners might not have heard of before?
That's a great question, and there's a couple answers. One, we're actually highlighting a featured presentation by Stephanie Campbell from the Pacific Northwest Trail. It's a new trail. People are beginning to hear about it. There's been some media attention. Recently, there's been an advisory group that met for the first time to help develop the comprehensive management plan. There's an increasing interest by both long-distance hikers and local hikers, and so this event on Saturday is going to be an opportunity to engage people a little bit more on how to use the trail, what resources are available, and again, what the vision is. And this is a great example of a trail that has a few gaps that haven't been built either because they're on private lands or the final route selection, even on Forest Service land, hasn't been determined due to a large variety of factors, including threatened and endangered species, the ruggedness of the terrain, whether or not it should be located closer to or farther away from developed facilities at trailheads or towns. So there's an early stage of a trail here that's kind of exciting to learn more about and get in on.
Huh. The Pacific Northwest Trail, is that the one that starts in Glacier and runs all the way to the coast?
It does. And if you have some of crazy friends like I do, they see it as the connector between the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the Continental Divide Trail. So you could start down in Mexico, hike north on the Pacific Crest Trail, hike over on the PNT, and then come down the Continental Divide, and in one summer do roughly 7,500 miles.
And, go ahead, Tom.
One of the other things that's important here is that Phil is in a very exclusive and special group of people that have done these long-distance hikes and the Triple Crown. And there are, however, a lot of people here in town that don't do the very long-distance hikes. But one of the things that we hope the thing on Saturday will do is highlight sections of these trails. And Phil's been talking about the Pacific Northwest Trail. I've hiked a lot of that trail, but in sections. For example, in the Passaic Wilderness in Washington State, it's just an absolutely beautiful wilderness area and a beautiful trail through there. So one doesn't have to do the entire trail. In fact, years ago, Phil and Deb gave a great presentation here in town about their Triple Crown. And I asked Phil in that meeting, I said, okay, what were your three most favorite places from the standpoint of scenery? You have to be careful with the question because if you say, what's your favorite part of the trail? They all say Oregon because it's flat. But I asked about scenery and he gave me the answer. And so people can then ask this Saturday, they can ask the people with this experience, what were the best scenery areas, and then people can do that section of
That's a great point. One of the gems that we have along the Centennial Trail is, I think, one of the absolute gems in the entire trail system that I've walked. And it's Trail 120, essentially across the B-Top Trestle Peak roadless area. A lot of people here have hiked parts of it, but you can start at the Trestle Peak Junction and hike over to the B-Top. It's about 19 miles one way. And it makes a beautiful hiking experience with wonderful backdrops of the Cabinet Mountains to the one direction, Lake Pendre to the other. And on a fall day when the huckleberries are ripe, there's no better place to be.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of these gaps, like in the Pacific Northwest Trail, that are so far not established. But if I'm a hiker and I get to one of these gaps, what do I do? Call a friend and get a ride? Or
Well, you go around.
Yeah.
And for most trails at the level of development that the Pacific Northwest Trail has, there'll be a guidebook out that will suggest the temporary routes or the alternate routes to use. Sometimes hikers make up their own. This day and age, there's blog postings, there's Facebook postings, all kinds of social media. So hikers who are out there can hear information about that season and what might be the best route from hikers who are a little bit ahead. So things have absolutely revolutionized themselves in the 25 or 30 years I've been doing long distance trails, where you used to have to rely just on some gut instinct or ancient old notes.
Okay, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we're here with Phil Huff and Tom Dabrowski with the Idaho Trails Association. Phil, of course, is with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. We are chatting about the Fall Hiker Fest and Trail Celebration this Saturday from 9 to 4 at the Bonner County Administration Building. And we're going to take a break, regroup. I'd like to hear more about who's the audience, who are the people you're looking for to attend this. What I have queued up is a film about hiking recently, Robert Redford and Nick Nolte, based on Bill Bryson's book, A Walk in the Woods. And this comes from the soundtrack. The movie led me to a very interesting group called Lord Huron. And I purchased a couple of the CDs and imported them into our music system here at 88.5 KRFY. Here's a cut from Lord Huron called She Lit a Fire. And we'll come back with Phil and Tom. Okay, that is Lord Huron, She Lit a Fire, here on 88.5 KRFY. We are here with Phil and Tom, and we're talking about the Fall Hiker Fest and Trail Celebration this Saturday at the Bonner County Administration Building, 9 to 4. And we've been talking about the Idaho Centennial Trail. I'm going to turn to Phil. Phil, what are some of the other trails that will be a focus of discussion this Saturday?
Thank you, Jim. And, you know, I'd really like to look at this as we're talking about trails, but what we're really talking about is the folks' experience on those trails. And so while they'll touch some on what the trail is, they're going to talk from their heart about how it changed them and what made them do it, what they gained from it. And to that end, you know, with the Clay speech, his girlfriend Kelly is going to come, and she's going to talk in part two about what it was like as a woman hiking the trail. And I know we're going to have some women in the audience. Just looking at the pre-registration, we're going to have a lot of women in the audience. And I think you'll note on our lineup, we're pretty well represented with every presentation except one has at least one woman on the panel. And I think this is really a reflection of where the trail experience is going these days. So our other speakers include Shane Harding, a wonderful young man who came to the Ruck in February, never hiking a long-distance trail before, brought his backpack, and Bob Turner and I did a bit of a private session with him, going through it and saying, you know, you don't need this, you probably need that. Helped him refine his strategy a little
down.
Bit. I followed him on Facebook all summer long. He was excited as a kid in the candy store the whole trip. And so I'm really excited to hear his presentation because it's fresh off the PCT, a trail near and dear to my heart. Having hiked it twice, but it's been a decade since the last time, I want to hear what's new about the experience.
Yeah.
Shane's going to talk to that. And he's just a wonderful presence. And so I'm sure he'll do a great job. Then local favorites, we've got Lexi DeFremery and Gail Hansett, who are going to talk about their trip around Mount Blanc. This is something that's a little bit different. It's a led trip, tour guided trip, but one which occurs in a fantastic place. And I know we'll gain a lot of interest. A lot of folks are going to come locally who know them. And I've seen their slides. It's going to be really good. So
now, I might be ignorant. Is that Mount Blanc over in France?
That's the one.
Oh my gosh,
and there's a loop.
I've been there.
There's a loop around it.
No kidding.
Yeah. A lot of classic long distance trails don't necessarily bag peaks, but they go around things. Some of them go up and over, like the Appalachian Trail, but
doesn't miss an up and over. Yeah. It hits every up and over.
Yeah. And then another wonderful loop trail that goes around the trail is the Wonderland Trail. It goes around Mount Rainier. Now that does a lot of up and down. There's a tremendous amount of vertical gain as you go in and out of all those glaciated avalanche chutes and gullies.
And I see that's on our agenda.
Yep, another woman who came to the Ruck and went off to do the Wonderland Trail, and we thought this would be a great opportunity to highlight a trail that's regional, and that gets a tremendous amount of requests. They opened their permit system the first day of April this last year. They filled every slot they had, all 1,500 of them, in just 3 days, and immediately went onto a wait list of 1,000. Now, the good news is they do keep open about 30% of the space for day of arrivals. So Donna can share a little bit about how hard it is or isn't to get onto the Wonderland Trail to do that. But we'll, again, see some fabulous slides and hear her personal experiences. We're going to also hear from a good friend of mine, Laura Beads Talaga, that's her trail name, who completed the Continental Divide Trail this summer, just got her Triple Crown Award from Alta West about a month ago. Deb and I were there, and she was just glowing. And having seen some of her photos before and heard some of her stories, she lives over in Newport, Washington. She's a regional person. She's going to come and share her experiences, and that's going to be a fabulous time. And I think that's everyone on the trails listing. We also have some participating organizations. Again, we're going to highlight the Pacific Northwest Trail. We're going to have folks come from Idaho Conservation League to talk about how they help maintain trails, how they help plan some of the things. Brad Smith is on the planning committee, the advisory committee for the Pacific Northwest Trails. I'll talk a little bit about our Scotch and Peaks trail system and hiking map and our hiking program, both winter and summer. We have representatives coming from the Spokane Mountaineers who are also going to bring information about the Washington Trails Association along. They're going to talk about opportunities to join the Mountaineers, join WTA, and help out our regional trail system. But a big shout out goes to Carrie Kelly, chairman of the Bonner County Commission, who's chairing the Bonner County Trail Mix Committee. Carrie's going to be there on Saturday. I don't know if he's the one that's going to talk about the trail mix. It might be Brad, but they're going to talk about how Bonner County is developing a master plan for connective trails, not on only Forest Service land, but on private land, state land, county land, and how that mixes into how we use trails, how we recreate on them in a variety of forms. So there's an opportunity here to engage with various individuals who are helping out the trails community.
And what are some of the other participating organizations that will be there this Saturday?
Thank you. In addition to the ones I've just mentioned, we're going to have representatives who are going to talk about the assets we have with the Lake Pendere Trail, the newly emerging potential for a Sandpoint to Newport Trail along the Pendere River, being called the Pendere Passages Trail. The ones I've mentioned are going to talk about their organizations. So we're going to have a mix of people talking about trail organizations and trails themselves. And again, we all bring something to bear for this event. It's being officially co-sponsored by Alta West and by the Idaho Trails Association, but we're in the room courtesy of the Bonner County Trail Mix Committee. Most of the organizations are bringing some form of swag to donate to a door prize and raffle. You'll get a free door prize ticket when you walk in and an opportunity to buy more raffle tickets, and we're going to have some exciting stuff there. It'll be a fun-filled day.
Will there be an exhibit hall? Will there be any, let's say, backpacker companies there, any shoe companies, you know, that sort of thing?
We don't have any gear manufacturers at this one. We wanted to focus this on education about local assets. At our spring ruck, February, late winter, early spring ruck last year, and increasingly this year and in the future, we'll probably be bringing in gear companies to do demos and displays and talk about gear.
And if I might add that this next spring, the Idaho Trails Association is also going to sponsor a gear review on a weekend day, probably a Saturday.
Perfect.
And to share with people in the spring, the upcoming season, what some of the new gear is. And it is incredible how this gear has been evolving. I know when Phil and I started hiking, we were carrying heavy packs.
Canvas backpacks.
Yes, very heavy packs. And today, I mean, my base weight now, because I'm also a long-distance hiker, but I'm a long-distance adventure hiker. I go off-trail primarily.
Ah, okay.
And so today, my base weight with my pack and shelter and my kitchen and my tent and my sleeping bag with everything is 11 to 12 pounds.
Go away.
Not counting food.
That's ultralight,
isn't
it?
That's an ultralight pack. And what I found, I'm 71 now, and I hike 500 miles a year just playing around with the adventure hiking. And I found that I can go a lot further, a lot faster with this ultralight gear. So this thing on Saturday, the thing that we're co-sponsoring on Saturday, is a celebration, as Phil said. And this is to share the experiences and all of the results of the ruck that Phil held last spring and what people experience this summer. Next spring, we'll be talking about the training component, what kinds of new gear is out there, and how you prepare for these hikes, both long distance hikes and then the segment hikes, the shorter hikes, the week-long backpacks.
Now, who is the audience you're looking for to attend Saturday?
So the fall celebration is partly about sharing experiences. So folks who are either avid hikers, shorter sections, local hikers, or long-distance hikers will want to come and share that celebration. But we also get, and looking at the pre-registration list, we're going to get the same kinds of audiences that come to presentations that we've sponsored over the years, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks or All the West or ITA, where we get a lot of the armchair voyeurs. They want to come and live vicariously.
They're never
going to go out themselves.
Perfect.
They don't necessarily want to, but they want to share in the experience too. And just scanning down the list of the 40 or 45 who have signed up, I'd say we've got about a quarter dedicated long-distance hikers. We've got about a quarter who are active, avid local hikers. We've got a quarter that I know are those armchair voyeurs. And then there's probably a quarter there who are just trail curious.
Okay. I'd like to ask Tom, though, about the different purposes of getting together, about networking, about finding other like-minded people in the community.
Yeah, excellent question. For example, in our community here in Sandpoint, we have a group called the Monday Hikers. And the Monday Hikers get together every Monday, oddly enough. And go for a hike. And my wife, who was born and raised here, and I joined that group quite a few years ago because they went to places we had never been. And so there's part of your networking, Jim. We've met other people who have similar interests in hiking. And so then we go hiking on other days of the week. The other thing I think that Phil said that's so important is we're so fortunate to live in this area. We have fantastic resources for people who like to hike, for people who like to mountain bike, for people who like to ride ATVs, and for people that like to snowmobile and backcountry ski. There's just a huge variety of things available. And I participated in the Bonner County Trail Mix Committee here last week. And it's very impressive to see the planning that Commissioner Kelly and the others are doing to bring some of these additional resources online. I mean, really impressive. Who would have ever believed that the Mickinac Trail, that was a dream of a couple of people, Nikki Pleas and her husband, to have a trail going up the side of the hill, 3.5 miles, 2,200 feet of vertical gain. That thing is so popular today. I don't think anyone envisioned that. And so these additional trails that we're bringing in will provide opportunities for people who are more of the local armchair types who just want to go for a short walk and people who want to do longer walks. So we're really fortunate to live here, and we have a very active community helping to bring some of these new resources online.
It's really important that communities look at trails as an asset for themselves culturally, economically. New trails like the Mickinac and trail systems such as the Bonner County Trail Mix Committee are envisioning are increasingly becoming important across our landscape because they provide opportunities for local people to get out and experience the great outdoors, to experience hiking, to start off their kids with a fishing box instead of an iBox. They get out there, and then they find out what it's about. And this is really important as communities develop.
I'm curious about this, the Bonner County Trail Mix Association, which I guess does not make nuts and raisins, but it sounds like it. It's got at least one county commissioner on it. And Tom, you said you were there. Mm-hmm. Can you speak at all to what kind of development we can see in the near future? What's coming to Bonner County as far as trails go?
Last week was the first meeting that I had attended because now that I've been elected to the board of directors of the Idaho Trails Association, I decided, well, with the name trails or the word trails in their name, I better attend. And so I'm really glad I did because, again, Commissioner Kelly's been very active, and it is a community effort, and it is to look at potential trails that we can build here in the local community. As Phil said, they're looking at connector trails, ways to take isolated trails today and connect them up. Also, other recreational opportunities like mountain biking and hiking and some water type trails. So this is a group that's been active for some time, and here before too long, they're going to come out with a list of potential trails and bring those to the public, have the public review that and see, okay, what makes sense to everyone here in the local community? And then to get volunteers and other organizations to contribute money to go and build and connect some of these trails.
The Trail Mix Committee, although I'm not on it, I've followed its work very closely. There are representatives from most every municipality in Bonner County, along with the county itself, most of the agencies that would be involved, and trail user groups. And so it's a good variety of diverse stakeholders who are needed to come together and put together some plans for how we're going to utilize the trail and potential trails in the county as an asset. I think it's interesting that probably half of those people right now aren't listening. They're off at the What's Up North Idaho Economic Forum. And it's because trails and our economy, in especially going into the future, have a lot to do with each other.
Indeed. I know I can, as a much probably a less serious hiker than anyone else in the room, I can say that I would appreciate some connectivity between some of the local trails. I know that coming from Minneapolis, it's very popular to go walking around a lake when you can go in a loop like that versus going in, you know, you walk out to the end of the trail, turn around and walk back the same trail. It makes it so much more interesting for a short period.
But these are some of the things we're going to highlight Saturday, in addition to the personal firsthand experiences, what I did on my summer vacation. There's going to be an opportunity to hear more, learn more, engage in dialogue one-on-one at lunch and during breaks with folks like those representing the Trail Mix Committee and the other organizations.
I think what's important is that the speakers on this Saturday are people who attended, some who attended last February's RUC, got the inspiration, and now they're coming back and share their experiences.
And so are the participants. Just scanning the list we have so far, about 25 to 30% of the audience are people who attended our RUC.
Cool.
Well, you know, you get a bunch of hikers around together, and they like to talk about not only what are some of the high points on a trail, but gear and what works and how did you handle, you know, I mean, I could sit down and talk with Tom about his ultralight and, 11 pounds. I think that's what my hiking boots weigh.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But, you know, the beauty of it is just simply sharing knowledge. You can have all the guides and maps in the world, but nothing like firsthand experience of what works and doesn't work.
And that's why this Saturday is going to be so much fun, because again, a celebration, people's experiences, what they learned on the trail, and then some beautiful scenery shots, of course. But the other thing is, we're going to be talking about, okay, so here were the experiences, but here's some potential upcoming opportunities.
Perfect.
That's why the Trails Mix Committee is so important. As Jack said, we can go and we can bring resources to bear right here in Bonner County to connect some existing trails, to build some new ones, and just have a whole lot more opportunity for people to go out and enjoy the outdoors here where we live.
I want to thank both Tom and Phil for coming in. And one more time, I'm going to turn to Phil and the nitty-gritty details of what to do, when, where, and how to sign up.
November 7th, Saturday. Starts at 9, goes till 4, doors open at 8:30. Get there early and or pre-register. You can do that by going to scotchmanpeaks.org, clicking on our event tab, and it'll walk you right through it. The day is free of charge. You can bring a bag lunch if you want, or we'll have a lunch available on a first-come, first-served basis. Sign up for it when you enter the door. It'll be $10, nice little barbecue lunch. So the day will be wonderful and free. Bring your family and friends if they're interested in hiking or sharing adventure.
Thank you very much, guys, for taking time out of hiking. I imagine if you weren't here this morning, you'd be out somewhere hiking. Hope to see you on Saturday. We're going to do a song here, and then we're going to ask Jack and Jim to go over upcoming events. Johnny Horton, some of you folks might remember that name. He Battle of New Orleans, Sink the Bismarck, North to Alaska, based upon the John Wayne movie, which is a fun film. He died on this date in 1960, on November 5th, 1960, in Milano, Texas, in a car wreck, rather young. And so I thought it'd be appropriate to play a song that we all have hummed at one time or another about being in 1814. We took a little trip. Here is Johnny Horton with a number one song, but that was in 1959. But he died on this date in 1960. Johnny Horton died on this date in 1960 at the age of 35, and we just played the Battle of New Orleans. Big hit in 1959, and in 1960 it was awarded the Grammy for the Best Country and Western Recording, and it replaced number 333 on the top 500 Songs of the Century by the Recording Industry Association of America. Johnny Horton. Huh. And I could sing that song. I was, 14 years old when that song came out, and I loved it.
The Songs of the Century.
Yes. By
the, that's interesting. From the RIAA.
RIAA, Songs of the Century. I take it was the 20th century, but song number 333. It'd be curious to see who did the voting and the listing and whatever like that. But this is coming around the same time as Davy Crockett and the, Fired Our Guns and the British Kept a Coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just simply invigorating.
Not songs that you hear anything similar today.
Try to find your coonskin cap. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. Boom. Love that stuff. We've got an exciting weekend planned for everyone starting tonight. So. Yes, it's right upon us. Starting tonight at Monarch Mountain, there is the open mic for poets, writers, essayists, anything. It's from 6 to 9 at Monarch Mountain Coffee on 4th Avenue. It's held on the first and third Thursday of every month. It's a great opportunity to share the written word. And then at the Panda Theater tonight, He Named Me Malala. And it's a screening of Malala Yousafzai. She emerges as an advocate for children's rights and the youngest ever Nobel Peace Prize laureate. It's a film that starts at 7:30 tonight at the Panada. I think that would be a good thing to do on a Thursday night. Put away your remote and Thursday night football and get out. Friday at the Idaho Poor Authority live music 5 to 7. Also on Friday night at the Pondere Winery from 5 until 8, the Electric Coal Show. More music. At the Panada, no, I take it back. It's not at the Panada. It's at the Sandpoint Events Center, the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. And that's on Euclid Street, 102 South Euclid. It's a film festival that celebrates the natural and wild world through environmental and adventure films that emphasize and illustrate the Earth's beauty, the challenges of our planet, and the work communities are doing to protect the environment. That is Friday at the 6th at the Sandpoint Events Center, and it's sponsored by the Sandpoint, the Idaho Conservation League at 7 p.m. That gets you through Friday.
Well, I have some Saturday events here in front of me. Number one on the list, of course, is that Fall Hiker Fest and Trail Celebration we were just talking about, presented by the American Long Distance Hiking Association West and the Idaho Trail Association. It's at the Bonner County Administration Building on the corner of Division and Highway 2, starting at 9 in the morning. And you can listen to the podcast of this very show for more information about that. Also coming up on Saturday, it is free first Saturday at the museum. It seems like it's been about a month since the last one, so why not have another one? It's at the Bonner County History Museum, which is at 611 South Ella, in right next to the Lions Club in Lakeview Park. This free first Saturday is made possible by the generous support of Marilyn and Paul Stanton. You can go to bonnercountyhistory.org for more information, see what kind of interesting exhibits they have in the museum right now. We have, so here's one that is a little different than what we usually have on Saturdays. The farmers market at Sandpoint is having a holiday market that's from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. not in its not at Farm and Park, but actually at the Forrest M. Byrd Charter High School, 614 South Madison Avenue. Many of your favorite vendors from the regular season market will be back for this one-day-only holiday market. Local produce, meats, cheese, baked goods, crafts, gifts, plus live music, booths from high school students. Oh, I wonder what they'll be, what the high school students are going to be up to, and more. SandpointFarmersMarket.com or 597-3355 for more information about that. The Sandpoint Film Festival is coming up. There will be three blocks of short films screened starting at noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. This year there are three categories: animation, documentary, and narrative, with first, second, and third prizes awarded in each. In addition, the festival's sponsor, Frontier Communications, is presenting the Idaho Filmmaker Award. There will also be three Audience Choice Awards. Sandpoint Film Festival has had more than 150 submissions this year from films all over the globe. Tickets are available online or through the Forrest Byrd Charter School. Half the proceeds go to the school. It's online at sandpointfilmfestival.com or call 290-0597.
Okay. Anything else this weekend?
I do have a couple more things, but what do you have in front of you there, Jim?
I have in front of me the KRFY Morning Show guests for next week. Next Tuesday on November the 10th, you can join Susie and Chris. And they're going to be talking with Dennison Webb, Director of Sol Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education, along with the newly hired Sol Program Director, John Dodge. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesday. And then next Thursday on the KRFY Morning Show, you can join Jack, and his guest is going to be Alice Wallace from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And this is so important. You know, Thanksgiving is looming on the horizon, Christmas holidays right around the corner. Find out what the food bank is doing and how they need your support. That's at 8 o'clock next Thursday, November 12th. So that's the lineup, Jack, for next week on the KRFY Morning Show.
I am looking forward to talking with Alice. She's always a treat.
And mm-hmm. by golly, that food bank does such an incredible job there. And mm-hmm. People should not be going hungry anywhere ever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
they do.
Yeah, and here and at this time of year too. Also coming up this weekend, there's a book signing party at Vanderford's, hosted by Jim Payne is the author of Worlds to Discover, and it's running from noon to 2 p.m. There's also music at the winery on Saturday from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. with Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. Excellent guitar playing
Absolutely.
And singing duo. 265-8545 for more information about that. And then I don't want to forget to mention Add the Words, the dinner and a movie hosted by the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. A meal of homemade chili and all the fixins, and then you can watch the film Add the Words from 4:30 p.m. till 7 p.m. It's at Sandpoint Community Hall. It's dedicated to the memory of Laura Bree. Also a fundraiser to help the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force and the Add the Words film.
And one thing that I forgot, on Friday, the mm-hmm. Ponderay Rotary Club partners with the Community Cancer Services to host mm-hmm. a fundraiser called A Night to Remember, starting at 5 p.m. in the Bonner County Fairgrounds. The fundraiser features wine tasting, dinner, a live and silent auction, and more fun activities. And all proceeds for the event will go to the Community Cancer Services and Ponderay Rotary Scholarship Fund. For more information, call Stephanie Nostal at 208-255-2301. One can be really busy this weekend.
Yes, you can. There is one more thing that wasn't on the events calendar, but Chris Staples, the Marshall McLean Band, and Josh Hedlund are all playing at Studio 524. That's right next to Evans Brothers at 524 Church Street on Saturday night. So that sounds like fun. Chris Staples is, I think he's from Florida originally. Marshall McLean, of course, from Spokane, and then Josh Hedlund, a local guy. So a nice mix of local, regional, and sort of national music on Saturday night. All sorts of things going on this weekend.
Busy, busy, busy.
Indeed. Coming up next weekend, Kathy Colton and the Reluctance. My goodness, time flies. It's already next weekend. November 14th.
You bet. At the Lunas.
Yeah. Concert starts at 7:30 with an optional dinner beforehand. The doors will open at 5:30 for that. Jim, you don't happen to know what's on the menu yet, do you?
No, I don't, but the food is always excellent yes. at the Lunas. So you can do the concert and dinner or just the concert. But if you're going to do the dinner, be sure to call DeLuna's and make a reservation. But this is a fundraiser for your community radio station, KRFY. And Kathy Colton and the Reluctance always put on a great show.
They do indeed. We're just about plumb out of time here. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY.